Girl with the fro, round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Girl with the fro, round the outside, round the outside. Got shoes back, back again. Stiffos back, tell a friend. Guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back, guess who's back. That's what I do when I got way too much time on my hand. And if I were a sane team lead, I would be hesitant to give me any time off. Yes, it is 10 fro back, talking to nerdy things on Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy. And hi, I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. It's going to be more of the same thing without any specific reference to a specific genre of Star Trek, but I will be talking about Breath of the Wild, If It Doesn't End Me, as well as Star Trek news and NASA news. And this is how I have fun, creating my own fun, creating my own show over a really pretty Saturday. And this is how all of us should do. I can't imagine not being allowed to create what I want and read what I want. That's just not how I roll. But that's how I roll today in Tennessee in this episode of Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy. And I hope you enjoy it. For the fact that I get to create something positive, what makes me happy and what I find positive is my nerd games and the images of the week. This previous week, NASA, you know, has become a hybrid between commercial or privately owned companies and the government. I think the government squandered, is that a good way to say that? A potential moneymaker before the Elon Musk of the world took over the rocket program and assisted them to get back to the moon and beyond. With that said, even before that happened, there is so much beauty in space. If you could think that the Hubble telescope was such a big waste of money and time, I don't think you've ever were encouraged or took it upon yourself to navigate to NASA.gov to basically see some of the images and artist renditions of the solar systems that are available to us just because we're citizens of the world. This week was more poignant because I was like, oh, this is a cute, cool constellation. And come to find out, it's the freaking Virgo constellation, which is over 50 million light years from Earth. It would take us 100 billion years to get out to that mug. And I got my astrological sign constellation is there for the world to enjoy. It is absolutely gorgeous. And I'm going to read from you. It just took me by surprise how beautiful this is. It's filled with all my favorite colors. And I just think it's just amazing. So the quality of this image has never been debated. The constellation or the galaxy itself is called NGC 4535, and it was actually discovered in the 50s. The different colors and the renditions, when you view it with a smaller telescope, it has a hazy, ghostly appearance to it. And that led to Leland Copen back in the 50s naming it the Lost Galaxy. It ain't lost. It's Virgo, child. Stop it. The bright colors in the image are so beautiful to look at, and it just tells us about the population of stars within this bared spiral galaxy. The bright bluish colors are nestled in the spiral arms, and it indicates a presence of a greater number of younger and hotter stars. In contrast, the yellow tones of this galaxy bulge suggest that this central area is home to stars which are older and cooler. And it kind of cracks me up if our Milky Way looks, if I were a nerd sitting in Virgo's constellation, would the Milky Way look this beautiful? I don't know, because I can't see that perception. I would hope it would be, because I'm here because I'm beautiful. But anyways, but I also, this galaxy is being studied as part of physics high angular resolution nearby galaxy survey. It's called the FANGS. It's to clarify the links between coal gas clouds, star formations, and the overall shape and other properties of the galaxies, which, if you're trying to plan a mission to another galaxy or even to another planet within our galaxy, you can extrapolate some of that information for safe landings of human exploration, or to send in robots. I'm just saying, there's going to be so much wealth of information that we're going to be gathering from the FANGS survey that's going to be applicable to as we explore and map the moon, as well as get to Mars and any other nearby planets. So I'm all into that. Also, this previous week, they did a hot test fire of the booster rockets that are going to launch us to these constellations, hopefully. There was a successful test of the B2 rocket. There were an 8-minute, this was just back on the 16th, out at Stennis in St. Louis, Mississippi. I'm supposed to be in Mississippi in 2 weeks. I don't think that I'm going to be anywhere near to basically see these types of tests going on. But it also goes back to the fact that the space program has continued to proceed with spots in the Gulf, and which makes sense, because the fuel that they need to test these boosters probably are made of a combination of petroleum products that they pump out of the Gulf. So hats off to them. I think the space program is still good money for everybody to make, and you don't have to be Elon Musk to be able to share in it all. I also learned about the Hot Fire and the Green Test Series. This is a comprehensive assessment of each stage of these rockets and their contribution to get us back to the moon in Artemis 1 program. In my notes for the podcast, I have probably this rocket that they just tested last week as they were standing it up to go through this test fire. So it's pretty amazing. Human ingenuity, I can't wait. And that propels me to want to be healthy enough and sane and lucid enough, because when we get, is it 2 years? I know we're, International Space Center, the International Space Station, but 2023, it's only like 2 years. I need to survive, because I want to see us land back on the moon. I think it's exciting, because that's just one of many stages to get us to Mars. And I would love to be around to watch the first landing to Mars. I think the round trip will take 8 years, unless we be able to go to warp speed. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. But at the same time, I'm just excited about the images and the life And to be able to share those details with a listening audience and with them showing, you know, sharing it with us. Who could ever have imagined me doing this podcast as well as possibly colonizing space? But without taking the prejudices and the problems that plague us here on Earth. I mean, I had to. I will be the first one to admit that I am not that efficient with video games, and I'm just getting into Breath of the Wild after a suggestion from the curators and host of one of my favorite podcasts, The Read. So, and I'm not so sure why I am into this at all, because it's not like I'm into fantasy, and it would be great if I could just play Pac-Man and Donkey Kong on this mug. However, now that I'm into it, and because I bought it was like $49 download, I am determined to learn as much as I possibly can about this game. I don't like, no, I'm not a particular fan of, I'm not a particular fan. I'm gonna cook it before eating to increase the number of hearts it restores. Okay. If I could figure out how to cook. Oops. Nope, 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 nope. And how could I stay in the damn tree? So I'm going to need to go over there. Out the damn tree. Ah! But at least if you start over, you get to start out with multiple hearts. But I'm determined to get every last Sometimes I wish I could just pick flowers, but I don't think that's in the cards. But yeah. Is that a jump button? Ah. And if you see me running around like a nut, it's because I'm determined to get all the apples from the damn tree. See a volcano. You just see me just give up on the fact that I don't feel like trying to climb the damn tree. There's a fire. Maybe I can cook some of this shit. Pass time by the fire. Alrighty. Sit by the fire until noon. Alright, great. Thank you. small secret. And if I throw it, no. It's a hailing. So you can forage, you can hunt. I'm not sure how to use any. What are these? Don't know how to forage, but, and I don't know how. Ooh, wait, what was that? That, I don't know, make you a little nauseous. Make me nauseous. Thank you. And I'm absolutely learning to cook. Oh, he tripping. Whatever, dude. Are we gonna sit? I'm gonna actually get my eat on because temper back up. No. I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna sit down to the night and get back up. But anything worth getting around us around, so nope. I hate to leave him. I'm full heart. And it's nighttime. I don't really like being my night fishing ain't all that good, y'all. See. You know what? I'm going to sleep. Like I do almost days. I'm gonna figure out. Ooh, good lord. I am going to X out of this. That was actually probably one of the most fun of the Zeldas. You get to collect stuff. I didn't find anybody this week, but I really liked the whole gathering and cooking thing. Finally figured out how to cook. Get your inventory, what you do with the plus, and then you hold it, and then you got, but then it, the old man showed me how to light the fire so I could actually cook. That was actually cool. I'll probably play a little bit more of this next week. Thank you for joining me for this section of old chicks playing with their Nintendo Switch. As always, thank you for joining me. Obviously, have to have a kind of palate cleanse because I've been watching or binge watching Snapped. And these people are some of the most privileged, sadistic white folks I've ever seen in my life. That's why I'm so glad that I get the opportunity to nerd out on stuff like Star Trek. So, in this episode, the ending of Star Trek Discovery, it was about 2 weeks ago. Storyline was whack, special effects were awesome, but therefore I don't have any Star Trek logs for your listening pleasure this week. So I made this section basically, it's emphasizing all of the different ships of Star Trek. In fact, one of the main ships it that popped up in my feed was Future, Enterprise D, and The Defiant. I am such a fan of DS9 and that little ship itself. And the artist renditions on Star Trek Online are right on point. And then while I was kind of scrolling through the feed for the ships of Star Trek, I started seeing little niggles about the next season of Picard, because I realized at the end of that much anticipated series that they had already announced the renewal of, like, for the second season, and they had already started talking about the third season. But I haven't seen anything as far as fandom talking about that series. But before I get to that, and that comes, this is where this particular ship comes to. There is the Dakahini, which is a warbird, which is just a beautiful warbird that you can see on Star Trek Online, which makes me think that I really need to get back into that video game, because I haven't played it in a number of months, as well as an artist rendition of the 1701. I did enter into that contest, and no, I didn't win the stupid pin, but this particular ship is very beautiful. So that's when I found out not only about ship the 1701, but also there is a reimagined intro to Star Trek Voyager, which is another spinoff of the series. And I thought it was just very, very pretty amazing. And you can actually watch it in its entirety because I've posted the YouTube link in my blog. So then it came to the fact that I'm not one of those fans that is having convulsions that Star Trek Discovery is over, but I'm looking forward to, there is 1701, where Christopher Pike actually is one of the captains of the original Enterprise, but also, as I was saying, you know, Picard was supposed to already drop. There have been nothing in the news about when they actually wrap production on season two because of COVID, and when is the season two that evidently CBS already bought before season one wrapped. So you can give us some whack crap like The Stand, but you can't tell us with the much anticipated Picard is going to drop. I don't understand that at all. We know who's going to come back. But this teaser is crazy because everybody is in this teaser. Geordi, Dr. Crusher is in this bitch. Jean-Luc Picard looks really good for 2,000-year-old white dude. Whoopi's supposed to come back because Picard went on The View to ask her, and she said, yeah. But at the same time, there's also some parallels with the ship itself, the Defiant. The Defiant was basically put into service to basically fight the Jem'Hadar, which is the fighting army for Odo's people, the Dominion. So I love the Star Trek Deep Space Nine because it was before Discovery, it was one of the only of the series which was anchored by a black man as a commander and as a captain. Avery Brooks played that part, and he played it well. I thought his new look and the new uniform, gray uniforms, with his bald head and goatee, he basically grew into the part. And it made sense because it became full circle, because I think it was season 7 that he was actually descendant from a Bajoran prophet for the nerds of the Star Trek verse. Deep Space Nine is several hundreds of light years in the Gamma Quadrant by a group of people likened to maybe Judaism, have a whole bunch of prophets. There is a wormhole that connects the Gamma Quadrant to the rest of the universe. On the other side of that quadrant is a warlike but shape-shifting group of people called the Dominion, ran by that, and the Jem'Hadar are their muscle. The Bajorans, the prophets are a group of aliens or whatever that basically keep the are gatekeepers of this connection between the two worlds. And they basically stood by as the Bajorans were subjugated by the Cardassians. The Federation comes in. They basically take over, kick the Cardassians out, take over Deep Space Nine, this space, and protect the Bajorans and the rest of the Alpha Quadrant from the marauding Dominion and the Jem'Hadar. All of this unbeknownst to Benjamin Sisko, as he goes through Starfleet, he is raised by a single father, and the lady who he thinks is his mom is only a stepmother, in a restaurant in New Orleans. He almost dies, I think. I can't vaguely remember, but he goes back to Earth soul searching, and that's when he discovers his true origins. His mother is a Bajoran prophet who basically wants to experience all that it is to be a human. She has Sisko, and she orphans him in on Earth with the dad. Very Mary and Joseph. And his dad, Joe? Wait a minute. I'm going to have to look that up. That's very Immaculate Conception. What is Ben Sisko's father's name? Oh my God. Yes. He is Joseph Sisko, y'all. That is what always tripped me out about Battlestar Galactica, as well as Star Trek and even Star Wars. The political connotations, but also the religious connotations. How in the world? Mary, who is a prophet, her mother, she actually has the Sisko or Benjamin Sisko, and she goes back to glory. I can't even, y'all tripping me out now. I just realized, because of course Jesus's dad is Joseph. I can't even, I'm too thrilled with Star Trek. Y'all killing me. 25 years later, I'm tripping out about Star Trek and all the religious connotations. But I say all of that to say is, I'm really digging, Star Trek, and if you see some of my posts with food, you see my Bajoran communicator, because I always really love that particular series. I'm thinking about rewatching it before either Picard or something else drops. The new series featuring the Enterprise with Captain Pike, but I want to explore the whole Christianity and religious connotations with the Bajoran prophets, the Sisko, and a black man and his mama. I wonder if her name is Marion, because that would just be too much for me. So let me look this up too. What is Ben Sisko's mother's name? Because if her name is Marion or Marauder, something that is equivalent with Mary, I'm going to freak out. Sarah, who is that? Abraham. I don't know. But at least it's not Mary, though, because that would have been just way too much for me. But she was the mother of nations also. That name does ring, have a religious bell to it, too. That just blew me away. But it also led me to a Variety article that was published in 2018, where all of the previous stars posed for pictures. A lot of these stars are dead. Like Renee Abajanis, Odo, he passed away of cancer, I believe, not too long after this article came out. I see the first and second trills. The first one actually was more prettier, and she, what was her name? Esri Dax, and because I'm looking at her now, Jadzia Dax, the Dax Trills, as well as Major Kira and Quark. At first I was like, who are these old white people? And then it took me a minute and stopped drinking for a minute to basically realize who all of these characters were and how I was just blown away that, number one, I could remember them, because it took me a minute to remember the Dax Trills, but how all of these characters played such a role in my make-believe life, because I love this series. And I didn't realize just until today how much I did, because I remember all of these characters' names. The showrunners, don't really care about. But then I realized that there's a picture of the Ferengi, Nog. He passed away from renal cancer, but this is his dad's wife, the Bajoran, who I can't remember her name to save my life, but she actually looks pretty fly. It's Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog. He passed away not too long ago. And then there's Terry Farrell, the original Dax, Jadzia Dax, with Michael Dorn, who played Worf, who looks pretty skinny in this picture. I hope pancreatic cancer, prostate cancer didn't take him. And then what flipped me out is I was looking at this character. I was like, his face looked familiar. Goldu freaking Cot is still alive, y'all. He is sitting here chilling in his sneakers, sitting next to the way the guy that played all the Wei Yungs and different characters. At least 7, 8 different. I think he also played an Andorian too, which cracked me up. But the character Jeffrey Combs also played Wei Yung. These are two of the most quintessential characters on, besides the Kai, who I can't stand. And I'm glad that Gul Dukat took her crazy ass out. But the Wei Yung character, Gul Dukat, and then Cirog Lofton, who played Sisko's son, he is fine now. He a big dude, as well as Penny Johnson that played his last wife, Ben Sisko's last wife. She still looks the same. This was only 2-3 years ago. So Black Don't Crack, and these characters are just absolutely so cool and so beautiful. That it just wants me to go sit and relook at the 7 series of this groundbreaking series itself. I don't know or think that Star Trek Discovery is going to have this long of a run, because if you look on Star Trek Online and some other fan chats, you know, it's not like Star Trek Discovery is really breaking any grounds, except if it's a Black female woman. But then you look at the leader of Deep Space Nine, because it followed the Next Generation. Is it so outside of the Star Trek verse that it's a prequel or a sequel that you're just so mad because it's so different? But y'all need to stop tripping, because it really isn't. They did all of this in the 90s with Deep Space Nine. And you could, it was obvious that they spent the money and they had great writers in the Berman brothers, because I look at the special effects, and the storylines were a little bit whack, and it got even worse when they let the actors and actresses, it was obvious that they let them motherfuckers write scripts. And some of the fan authors write them scripts in the last season, but all the previous six seasons were even a bomb. And it wasn't until they got until they got the original writers back and they basically closed it up to a certain extent, that it was going to go out with a bigger of a bang. And it was just obvious that you can't do but so much in artistic integrity and letting the actors practice their craft. That was, I honestly think that was the demise of that show. But it was obvious when the Dominion and the Jim Hadar, those particular scenes and who was actually writing that, and the special effects team and the buy-in. Because it was obvious that the original stars were not writing or directing any of that original stuff, because it was a definite difference between the first six seasons and that last season. And I'm just saying, stay in your lane. If they had just kept with the original formula, and also it was very obvious. If they had just played up the Romulans' effect, as far as fighting the war with the Dominion, and that probably would have made more sense to me, because if you tell me anything, the Romulans are more deadly and treacherous than any Cardassian or Jim Hadar. I'm just saying. But at the same time, if they had played that up and not gone off some deep end with the prophets, I think it would have been a better ending than the actual ending. And I'm going to have to re-look at that, because, again, it was very obvious that they didn't have the same writers in the last season as they did in the previous six seasons. I still liked it and I still watched it just because it was Star Trek Deep Space Nine. But at the same time, the quality of the storylines were kind of whack. Do I think they were as whacked as the third season of Discovery? Probably not. But what I would like to see is more of the fight scenes that I got used to with Giorgio, if I can put that out there, for Discovery. And I think there are lessons learned if you would look and parallel that last season of Deep Space Nine compared to what they can and what they should consider doing for fourth season of Star Trek Discovery. It's a question mark I still have with the series anchored by Christopher Pike and Spock. I don't know, y'all. I don't think I saw anything in the news as far as a drop date on that. But I'm going to look forward to it. I'm also looking forward to Picard and seeing how they interact all of the next gen cast in the next season of Picard. And if they are as willing to bring back some of the DS9 characters back, is there a place for the Dominion and the Jim Hadar in this, the 31st or 32nd season? Maybe, because you got to be a changeling and you got to be gangster to be able to survive in this, what it is this new norm. I wouldn't be shocked if we see some Jim Hadar wrecking-ish in the 32nd century. I think it would be cool. Just like I would see the Rehorn Andorians, Cardassians, and a couple of Klingons, and the new Navarre folks wrecking-ish and going for theirs. Who knows? But with that said, I think the next series, whatever it is, as far as Star Trek, is going to be all of that in a bowl of grits. And I'm just looking forward to talking about it on my show. I'm going to leave this episode of Tennessee Fro and Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy. I've actually had a ball in producing this particular episode. And I'm sorry if I get a little bit excited and when I draw parallels to Christianity and science fiction. It's kind of crazy because they, I'm sure a judge or a real wash your feet Baptist would think it's all sacrilege, but whatever. It makes great entertainment. And they just need a bag of gummy dicks anyway. So navigate to shipabagofdicks.com and use my promo code TenFroGotJokes to take a percentage off of your order and shipping, as well as writersblock.coffee, Tenfro with reading, and you can get your cup of joe as well as a percentage off of the shipping and the order itself. And I hope you join me next time as I talk more about books and everything else Tennessee Fro is doing on her downtime. And thank you for joining me, and until next time, bye.